Welcome to Sport Faith Life with Brian Bolt and Chad Carlson, two guys who came together for one common purpose, to think deeply about sport and faith. They are sports scholars, they're coaches, and they're competitive athletes, or at least they were. And together, they've created Sport Faith Life, a conversation that meets at the intersection of sport and faith.
Today on Sport Faith Life, we welcome Kevin Washington, who recently took the role of Associate Athletic Director for Mission Impact and Enrichment and Athletics Chaplain at Baylor University. After a stellar college football career at Notre Dame, Kevin entered sports ministry through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and has served in ministry roles at a number of universities, including Texas University and Abilene Christian. Kevin will be a keynote speaker at the 4th Global Congress on Sport and Christianity at Baylor University, July 31 through August 2. We are very excited to get to know and speak with Kevin, so let's get started.
Well, we're so excited to have Kevin Washington with us today. Kevin, tell us a little bit about sport in your life.
Sport has been a part of my life since I can remember. Growing up, playing sports, being around it, it's how I've made the majority of my friends, how I made them earlier on, still stay active in sport. And it's definitely a driving factor in what I do, a driving vehicle, in what I do now professionally. And then also just enjoy it, right? I'm not as good at it as I used to be, but I still enjoy playing. And so sport's always been around, always gives me a reason to invite people, have community, do those things. Sport's been a huge part of my life, and it still is to this day, thankfully.
Well, we'll be able to unpack that quite a bit in the rest of the conversation. Looking forward to that. But for now, tell us a little bit more about faith in your life.
Yeah, so I was saved in college. I went to the University of Notre Dame, played football up there. And I would have told you beforehand that I was a Christian. And the way I look back at that now is what I would say is that I knew all of the words, but I didn't know what they meant. And so, you know, I grew up, I went to church, I knew all those things, but it wasn't real to me until I had to lean on it while I was at the University of Notre Dame. And so I learned, I saw what it meant to actually walk in faith, and kind of tying back to the sport question, this is when I saw my faith come alive, because it was through sport that I was able to experience God, and through that also experience life. And so try to experience who he made me to be and then who he is through sport. And so faith has taken this meaning on to me now, where it's supposed to be a part of everything that I do. Like, faith is supposed to be in every decision, in every moment, good or bad. And so I'm always trying to integrate those two, look and see, man, how do those things connect? And faith has given me a lens to see the world through, but then also a joy to be able to experience all of God's gifts, including the resources of his people and the things that he's put in front of me and around me.
Well, Kevin, there's so much rich material for us to get into there, and I know that that applies to the work that you do day to day, but I'm curious now, where did you grow up and how did you end up in Notre Dame?
So I grew up in Houston, Texas, and my wife and I both went to high school together. Went there, had the opportunity to play, and for some reason didn't really want to stay in Texas. And so all of my, you know, top three schools were outside of there, saw Notre Dame and didn't know about it. So when I was getting recruited, I had no clue even about scholarships. My dad was like, man, play football. Don't worry about this stuff. All the recruiting letters, like, he took those, like, don't worry about it, play ball. I went up to Notre Dame not knowing that it was this big name and all that kind of stuff. But I ended up choosing there because at the time it was Coach Willingham. And so Coach Willingham was there at the time. I really wanted to play for him because of what he was doing, what he wanted to do with young men. And because Notre Dame, once I learned, had a lot of name recognition, the academics were really good, but then also they played on NBC every single day. So you get both of the football and the academics and then the networking afterward. My mind's always been thinking about connections. And so going to a school that had those kind of connections was why I went up there. Unfortunately, I never got a chance to play for Coach Willingham because as soon as I got there, he got fired. But that was just a part of the journey. So God used that, and it's helpful for what I've done and what I'm doing now as well.
Okay, so that's interesting to me that you are you're going to Notre Dame without knowing much about Notre Dame. You're going for the coach who was a great guy, didn't get a chance to play for him. Can you talk a little bit about like the culture of football at Notre Dame that you experienced specifically related to Christianity?
Yeah, and so in terms of Christianity, it was, you know, wide open. I mean, they're not going to be opposed to it. Obviously, the Catholic school, they're okay with that. They want that. They encourage it. It just wasn't something that was interwoven into the athletic experience, if that makes sense. With the staff that I was with, not sure how they're doing it there with Coach Marcus now. I know they're doing a lot of great things. But with my experience, it wasn't interwoven into that. It was, hey, they're going to take things out of the cafeteria for Lent. You got to go through your one or two religion classes. And so it was never something that was pushed away, but it was never something that was like front and center to say, hey, how do we make sure we invest in your spirituality while you are competing at this level, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kevin, as you think about that experience kind of forming and shaping what you're doing now, draw a line for us from what the end of your career at Notre Dame to where you are now and what came in between.
Yeah. So, man, end of the career. I was done at Notre Dame. I went to a career fair. Didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I listened to someone else give all their experiences and talk about their GPA and their internships. I'm like, I've got none of this on here. Little known fact, I got to work for Muhammad Ali for 2 years while I was at Notre Dame. And so he lived in a house in Barron Springs. I went over there and worked for him for 2 years.
Wow.
Got to meet him, be around him. It was honestly, it was amazing. I didn't have enough wherewithal to put that on my resume. That just tells you kind of where my mind was at. So I'm leaving Notre Dame with great experiences, all these kind of things, but I never connected those things. And so I'm leaving. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm burnt out with football because of the way things happened at Notre Dame. Coach Weiss was a great mind. He professionalized what we did before it's become professional, which we can have a whole other conversation about that. But in the sense that came from the Patriots, kind of ran it that way. But I mean, we were still 18-year-old kids. We wanted to have fun. It wasn't happening that way. The way that my process went with different coaches, just the experience there, I'm done with football because I don't want to play anymore. Through different connections in God's providence, get connected with a guy named Chris Thompson. He's now an associate head coach over at Florida State, but he was the head coach at Abilene Christian University there. So I'm talking to him, thinking I got to figure something else out to do anyway. But what struck me about him at ACU was he wanted to develop men and win games. And so I remember going in there, and we went there, and for 2 years had a great run, won some conference championships, All-American. It was everything I thought would be at Notre Dame. But he would take time out of camp, football camp in the middle of season, and spend a 2-day retreat talking about what it means to be a man, what it means to be a biblical man. And so from there, you know, I'm starting to understand faith. I'm trying to grow in it. That's where I'm experiencing God and understanding how it applies to everyday life. I get the opportunity to go to the NFL. I say opportunity, so I'm not telling you I'm going to get drafted like first round or second round, but I have the opportunity. And I'm talking to Coach T, and he's like, man, do you want to go to the NFL for the platform or because you want to play football? I said, the platform. He's like, well, then don't go to the NFL. He said, let God give you whatever platform you want. So I take that advice. I don't go through any of the pro days. I don't go through any of the combines or anything like that. Instead, I start working for FCA. And so I work for FCA in Abilene. My wife joins me on staff working for FCA in Abilene. We work there for 3 seasons. And then we go to the University of Houston, where we're both from, serve for 3 seasons there. She's working with the women's teams. I'm with the men's teams. Coach Tom Herman is there at that time, sees the work that we're doing and that it's more than just chaplaincy. We're also doing community engagement, career development, all those things. He gets the opportunity to go to the University of Texas. And then he asked me to come up there with him. I always say the first time I said no, just we had a lot of good things that were going on at the time. Some people told me you should pray about it. So we did. We end up going up there. Fast forward, we spent 8 years there. I get retained by Coach Sarkisian and his staff when he comes on. I get to serve as the director of player development for those 8 years. And the way I sum that up is I would focus on character, community, and career, and then also serve as a chaplain for the team. And so I'm getting to do all of those things. Did that for 8 years. Amazing, awesome experience. We almost got a national championship before I left. And I was like, come on, guys. Didn't quite get there, though. It's all good. And then had the opportunity to come up here to Baylor to serve as the associate AD of Mission Impact Enrichment and athletics chaplain. And after thinking about it, praying on it, it's not something that we can turn down, because what quickly became a passion for me was helping people connect faith and performance so they could thrive in both. And that's what I had been doing at University of Texas with one team and a few other teams that I got to work with, but wanted to do that on a larger scale. And that's what Baylor is about, wants to do. And that's something that I don't see happening on such a large scale. And I want to be a part of that, because I think excellence and faith should go hand in hand. But too often we don't give people the tools to experience God while while experiencing competitive excellence. And so I want to be a part of that. That's how I got to this seat, from not knowing what I was going to do once I graduated from the University of Notre Dame.
Okay. So there's a lot there. I want to ask a lot of follow-up questions, and I wanted to interrupt, but I know I also did not want to. In the midst of everything that you said, can we back up just sort of a few steps? And I know Brian will have some follow-up questions about this too, but the first one is this. What did you do for Muhammad Ali?
besides sit there and stare the first time he walked in, I didn't realize what I was getting into, right? And so they put MAE in this media analyst. And so it's Muhammad Ali Enterprises. And honestly, I would just go through all of the old photos and video clips to see if there's anything that was usable from a marketing standpoint, to say, hey, do we think we could use this with any brands or anything that we've already got going on? One of the pictures that I saw was him playing Monopoly. And so I tried to give it to our staff and say, hey, we should sell this to Monopoly, and they call it Monop-Ali. And then just like kind of do some stuff like that. They liked it. I think they said they pitched it, didn't quite catch though. But that was what I was doing. So I literally just go through. And so, I mean, it was humbling, but it was really cool because I basically got to see Muhammad Ali's life from a different vantage point. Because, I mean, it's a picture of him and his kids just out at the lake when he's training, or him before a bout or after a bout. And so it was really cool to do that, to see him, to meet him quite a few times because he'd lived on there, him and his wife, Lonnie. It was just a really cool time. But I was looking at media, trying to figure out if there's anything to use, and trying to be like, can I have one of these pictures or anything like that? Because there was some really cool stuff. But that's all I was doing. I was just sitting there looking at photos and then bringing in ones that I thought might be good or ones that they specifically asked for.
You know, Kevin, when I think about this pathway, there's a lot of intriguing questions I have that kind of pop up. And I want to stay on the sort of Notre Dame sport front now, because you had kind of a fork in the road there. You had this opportunity to potentially go to at least test your skills in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And then you had a decision, and that decision was to not do that and join FCA and get and start to develop this ability to work with youth, to come alongside, to potentially work in a chaplain kind of role. Tell me how you got to that place. What sort of resources you drew on as you were starting to think about how you would make those decisions? And then how did you evolve into a person who could do that kind of work?
Man, so the resources to make that decision, thankfully at that time, I was younger in the faith. So a little bit idealistic, right? Because I'm not going to lie, I look back sometimes like, man, you could have went to the league, you know what I'm saying, made a little bit of money, done what you needed to do in there, right? But in God's providence, I don't know how that would have ended up. Like, I don't know that my wife and I would still be together. I don't know that I would still be a believer. I don't know that, you know what I'm saying, there's a lot of different things that could have happened had I went. And God said, no, I'm going to lead you around the long way so that you have to lean on me. But I think it was the resources of people who were seeing the passions that I had and the giftings that I was beginning to tap into. And they said, man, there's a really, really good thing here. But then also people that have gone to the league and asked them, what is this life like? Or what are these things? And they're like, man, it's really good, but you do need to love it. You do have to have these things. And so I think just God's people in general were a really big piece of that. And then obviously just growing in my own faith to say, man, what do I feel like I'm called to do? And what's going to give me the most fulfillment? Is it going to be playing ball and then on the side doing ministry? Do I feel like I'm actually called to ministry? Now, it's a different type of ministry, right? So it's not me pastoring in a church, but I feel like, man, this is what I'm called to do and want to do. And I feel like that's even part of the season that moved me from the University of Texas to Baylor's. There's a different season now where I was doing ministry on the side and in the team, but it wasn't my entire focus, where now my entire focus is ministry and performance, if that makes sense. And so that's where, like, all right, if that's what I'm going to be doing, that's where I should be. As opposed to, I mean, when it answers this question of what the resources were, I forget the second question though. Could you repeat that one for me?
I guess I was intrigued with your pathway, because to stand in front of people and tell them ultimately about Jesus, how they can make better decisions in their life, grow as men, as you described it, You probably had mentors around you that was teaching you how to do that. And so I was just wondering, like, what did you draw from those mentors and how did that work?
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest things was your specific calling, like trust God to do what he's called you to do and open the doors that he needs to. And that's been one of the things that sometimes will prevent me, if I'm being honest, was I can see the way it could work out. And a lot of times that's not with God working it out. And God's like, yeah, that could open that door. That could open that door. That could open that door. Or you could trust me and you could move forward in this and I'll open the doors that need to be opened. Now, granted, there's still wisdom in that. But it's, man, is my life going to be one that is following the doors that God wants to open, or in the wisdom of the world saying, hey, these are the steps you should take to get to this place to impact for the kingdom? And that's been the biggest thing. And even all the mentors I've had, you know, they talked about they wish they would have followed Christ earlier, followed God's plan earlier, as opposed to saying, hey, you're Lord of my life, but I want to take a detour over here. Those have been the biggest things that have been really helpful for me in listening to those mentors.
Your path intersects heavily with a number of prominent college football programs. And I'm curious if you can give us a sense for the differences or what you learned at each stop that might be helpful from a sport and Christianity perspective, right? Thinking about Notre Dame, which you've discussed a little bit now, and then spending some time Abilene Christian and Houston. But then your last two stops have been University of Texas, which is a public institution, but of course within Texas, where football and Christianity seem to be sort of a predominant cultural influences, and now mm-hmm. being at Baylor, a school that is overtly, yeah. expressly Christian. What have you learned about sort of the connection between football and Christianity at each of those places?
I first and foremost have learned that God's remnant is everywhere. So whether it's a public institution, whether it is a Christian institution, NAIA, NCCAA, or whatever it is, God's people are everywhere, right? And so I know sometimes it'd be easier to say, man, public institution, one of the things people hear that you went to the University of Texas and worked there, they're like, what, there's believers there? And I'm like, yeah, there's actually quite a few of them. It's awesome. That would be the first thing I'd say. The second is that those athletes that aren't at the, you know, maybe Power Five or Power Four, you know, blue blood programs, you know, the Division Twos, Division Threes, NAIs, those are athletes that actually want to play the sport. When I went to ACU, it was Division II at the time. They've since moved to Division I AA. The difference between what you're used to at the University of Notre Dame and then when you go to a Division II school is a little bit different. And you're like, all right, we want to play ball. Whereas it's almost when you get to Division I status, I understand that it's still a lot of hard work. I'm not knocking that. I watch these, you know, student athletes do amazing things every single day. But there are certain things you're like, all right, you have gotten used to certain things that other schools don't. And so when I see that, I'm just like, man, okay, these student athletes really want to play. But I've also seen that there needs to be a contextualized and evolving ministry to every school that has student athletes and coaches. Right. And so contextualize, because you're going to have different people in different places at school. So Notre Dame, they're used to a certain type of language. Same thing at Abilene Christian. Right. Because they're Christian schools, or because they've got Catholic and I think Church of Christ is where Abilene Christian started with. Because they've got that in their name and they're still owning that, they're going to be used to certain languages. So ministry is going to look different because they're expecting, same thing, you know, here at Baylor, as I'm learning this, I'm still learning. They're expecting and exposed to those things a lot more than student athletes at the University of Houston and the University of Texas. And so the ministry is going to look different at each of those places. And so there needs to be contextualized ministry at each of those, understanding what it is. And so when you're talking to other people, it's glean what you can, but then also understand that your context is different, right? I had to do that when I was working for FCA and even when I'm here, you know, at Baylor before at UT. And then I say evolving is, I mean, unless we're living under a rock and don't know what's happening with, you know, the NCAA, I mean, ministry and everything has to evolve. And so I say that, you know, Coach Weiss professionalized kind of what we were doing there and how we operated. It wasn't from the financial piece, right? It wasn't from the portal piece. I stayed there. I made sure I graduated. Dad made sure of that. But man, with professional sports seemingly trickling down, right, to college athletics, where, I mean, you're paying kids, they're on social media, they're getting endorsements, all those things, and you've got to evolve the ministry. But that also contextualizes, because what, you know, a Baylor student athlete is experiencing is different than what an ACU student athlete is experiencing from an NIL, from a competitive aspect, which is different than a U of H, different than a Baylor, that's different than a Texas, different than Notre Dame. So those would be the things that I've seen, is that they're everywhere. You know, kids that don't, or the student athletes don't get all the bells and whistles, really want to be there. And so kudos to them. And then wherever you're at, I mean, we've got to make sure we contextualize and evolve with what's going on.
So Kevin, you work now in a place with bells and whistles, right? There are plenty of them, I think, at Baylor and at all sort of marquee blue blood Division I kinds of circumstances. And a lot of coaches that have been around for a while are starting to talk about the difference. They're talking about the way they coach differently, the way they think about rosters differently. NIL has changed the scene. The transfer portal has changed the scene. And you played in an era before both of those things, right? You didn't get your bag in those days, right? But now they are, right? They're changing the way that we're interacting with sport. And I wonder too, you talk about excellence, right? Tell me how you are interacting both with coaches and with players now in this era. And is it all that different? Or is it still sport in the way that you have experienced it and remember it?
Yeah. Disclaimer, I've been in the job for 2 months, so I'm still learning how to work with our coaches and student athletes, still meeting them, figuring out how they do ministry. We've got a lot of great coaches here that are doing great things. They understand the mission. And so haven't fully tuned into exactly how we're going to continue that mission, but got some hopes for, you know, what we can accomplish in moving forward. I think I'll answer your last question first, though. Is it different? That's really hard. I say yes and no. No, because it's still 18-year-olds trying to deal with life, right? In that sense, it is the same. Like, and that's what gets hard, you know, speaking from a football context, because that's where I just came from the most with UT. And then, you know, over here, I work with a lot of athletes. But just because they look like they're 30 doesn't mean that they are. And we've got to help understand, like, we are developing young men and women. And so we get so mad at them, or they do something and they throw something on social media, or they respond in such a way that gets the ire of the fans or of, you know, just pundits. Like, how could they, or why would they, or they're leaving for this. I'm like, man, it's an 18-year-old. Like, they're still developing. Like, they are meant to be around us to grow and develop. And so in that sense, it's not different. It's just they've got different, like you said, bells and whistles, different things that are going to impact them. And so from that sense, you can say it's really different. So hopefully I'm not speaking out of both sides of my mouth. For the person, it's not different. They're still 18-year-olds, but what they have to deal with is vastly different. It is wildly different when it comes to money, even how that can affect relationships with friends, with family. That changes things, right? And so they got to make business decisions. Like, if you're getting offered, you know, 5 figures, 6 figures, 7 figures, like, those are things that you need to consider. The portal is something that is there. It's a reality. And so as a believer, how do we navigate those things? I still think we've got a lot to put forward to help people navigate these spaces, coaches and athletes, because the text is always relevant. You know, God is always going to be walking with us. And so to me, it's helping people see that relevance, right? Like I said, the tagline that I've kind of adopted is, I want to help people connect faith and performance so they can thrive in both, because that's what we were meant to do. And to me, sport is a spiritual discipline, right? If I can use sport or performance in any way as a spiritual discipline to get closer to Christ, to help understand how I should be seeing him above the audience or above those that are judging me, then I can do that when I go to work. I can do that when I'm also, you know, speaking in front of friends or family, whatever that may be. And so the aim is going to be helping our student athletes and our coaches, and working with them to help our student athletes see that your competition is not, or your competitive excellence is not competing with your faith, right? Those things should go hand in hand. It's helping them see that. And what I've seen often is sometimes, like, they don't know how to bridge that gap. And so for me, 1 Timothy 4:8, really good for physical training is of some value, but training and godliness has value for this life and the one to come. Keep training, keep working. We want you to do that. Some people think that, you know, we would say, don't work as hard or don't go as hard because that's not the most important thing is your faith, which is true. But we honor God with what we do. We also get to experience him through what we do. And so if we can help them understand that spiritual training, that soul training is of benefit in this life and the one to come, you're not missing anything. In fact, you're adding to yourself. And so that's kind of the mindset and the aim that I'm hoping to work with our coaches to help them continue to push because they're already doing it to a degree, but sharing to figure out different ways that we do that while also collaborating at a high level, because I've seen that there are a lot of believers doing things at a high level. And so the kingdom is all about collaboration because the more we share the gifts that he has, the more we can do that. And so I think that speaks to the student athlete experience as well in developing their identity outside of just sport. Is helping them to say, hey, let's grow in your spiritual identity, your spiritual growth for your sport, for yourself, and then connect you with other vocations, people, and opportunities that are also faith-driven as well to give you a bigger picture of the kingdom and what that means for you.
I get the sense that what you just said, that is your last answer, speaks a little bit to what you do in your new role at Baylor, right? Over the last 2 months, you've been the Associate Athletic Director for Mission, Impact, and Enrichment, which isn't a title that's very intuitive, right? And so I'm imagining that a lot of what you're doing is what you just said you're doing, at least from a theoretical standpoint. What's the vision for this role, and how do you play into the vision for Baylor Athletics and Baylor University in general?
Yeah, for sure. Baylor Athletics is trying to create champions for life, and this role, I think, is necessary to do that, because if we're going to have champions for life, it needs to be for this life and the one to come, as we talked about, and that's going to inform what we do. And so in this role, man, it's helping to create the streamlined experiences for our student athletes and frameworks for our coaches to be able to pull from so that they can say, hey, here's a, you know, common language or experiences that we can use to connect both of those things. I think that's the thing that's been missing a lot from some people's discipleship, is like, man, we do our sport and then we do our faith, or we do our faith and we have some sport interaction with it. But it's like, man, how are we training our soul in the midst of that? And that's what we hope to be doing here at Baylor, while providing opportunities for other people to come and learn, right? Because there are not a lot of, I say that's not true. there's a lot of Christian universities, right? Maybe not all at this level, but that are trying to do this. I mean, how do we, you know, encourage coaches? How do we encourage ADs, right? You know, in administration to say, like, your mission, whether it's explicitly Christian or if it's, hey, I'm not a public institution, but I want to be faithful. Well, we can still give some of the tools there. And so we want to be that place where we can help student athletes, coaches, administrators figure out how they can interweave faith and sport to be excellent in both of those things while providing opportunities to grow in all those areas, in both of those areas.
Well, Kevin, I want to ask a couple of questions that are maybe related but unrelated. One of the things that we're trying to do here at Sport for Life, Sport Faith Life, is to do exactly what you described, which is to enrich people and give them opportunities to think about sport and faith and the intersections of sport and faith a little differently. One way we do that is the conference that we run every 3 years, and we're excited to invite you to be a part of that this year, which is great. So we're really excited. I wonder if you could give me a little preview on that. And the sort of unrelated question to that is, you mentioned your wife and your sort of partners in ministry. Could you tell me a little bit more about how that has worked over the years? And is she a part of what you're working on now professionally?
Yeah, absolutely. My wife is the only reason I've done anything cool in my life. I think it's actually a song like that, and I play that. She's the reason for everything I've ever done. The first business I started, I say legal business, but that has a bad connotation. I didn't do anything illegal, but the first one where we actually formed and did like LLCs and all that was a training company where we would get college athletes, would, you know, kind of disciple them up, train them up, and then they would train middle school athletes in the summer, like workout camp, according to biblical principles, right? And so she was a driving force behind getting that done, helping me get those things done. We've started camps, redone trainings for camp leaders and things like that together. And so she's a huge part of what I do. And I think if I'm going to be helping people understand Christ and life and all that, they got to see me living. So they're going to see her around a lot. She's still a big part of that. We actually have a 2-year-old and a 5-month-old, excuse me.
Nice.
So she's around, not as much as she would like at this moment. And so once he gets older, they'll start seeing a lot more of them. But they've already seen us at games. They'll be around. And so she'll definitely be a part of the mission. She is a part of the mission. That will be hopefully fulfilling here at Baylor. As far as the Global Sport Congress, I'm so excited to be there because I've seen it and I've never been able to come just because of job requirements, things like that. And now it is my job. So I get a chance to be there. I can be at the rest of them. I'm really excited to be there. And for me, it's a preview of trying to help understand how much sport informs how we think and live on a regular basis. Right. And so not sure exactly we'll go into detail on this, but I think of Deuteronomy 6, right, when it talks about discipleship and how as you stand up, as you walk by the way, as you lay down, you should be talking about, you know, the Shema, right, sharing these things with your kids, write it on your doorpost or the lintels of your house. That's the recipe for discipleship. That's what it's supposed to be, is we're constantly talking about God, whether we're walking, sitting down, wherever we're at, putting it on our heads and the frontlets. That's what sports does. Like when you think about it, when we're walking and talking, it's about sports. We have channels that are dedicated to 24/7 sports. If you watch ESPN long enough, you will know exactly what they're going to say the next time the Sports Center comes on because they're saying the same things, right? We have it written on our doorposts. People have the flags for their favorite teams or the jerseys that they're wearing. They have hats for their teams, their players. And so it's been discipled into us to use that language, to think that way. And if we understand that, then we can utilize that to help people understand life and just turn sport to use it in that aspect, to experience God's grace, to borrow from Eric Little, as I know most of us sports ministers like to, when we run, we feel His pleasure. We want to experience God as we compete. And so once we stop competing, we know how to do so. And then we haven't left our faith over there on the track or on the field. And that we don't do that before we're ready to stop competing either.
Kevin, thanks so much for spending a little bit of time with us today. We are really looking forward to hearing more of this at the next Global Congress on Sport and Christianity at Baylor in late July, early August of 2025. So really excited to do that. Thanks for the good work that you're doing. Settle in. You got a little bit of time. And then we can't wait to meet you in person at that conference. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you all for having me. Looking forward to seeing y'all in person.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sport Faith Life podcast, a conversation at the intersection of sport and faith. Read the corresponding blog post and learn more about us at sportfaithlife.com. Listen to more of our podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and follow us on social media to stay up to date with everything Sport Faith Life.